Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. She's 18 years old, blonde hair, extremely well-educated, and ambitious. When she meets a man named Arnold, Benedict Arnold, who's 40 years old and badly in debt and wounded out of the war after being heroic for many battles for Washington and for the Patriot cause. And Peggy Shipman stands there and is eyed by Arnold, I imagine. This duo make history and still make history thanks to Professor Richard Bell's book, The American Revolution and the Fate of the World. I had never met Peggy before. Professor, wow, what a... There's a woman like this in every stage play we can find, but I didn't know she was real. Who was Peggy Shipman when she met Benedict Arnold?
I love that last comment, John. You know, I see a lot of plays. I love plays. And the Liaison Dangereux, a play about French intrigue, there's a woman in that play who is one of the most sort of cunning, sort of manipulative figures in modern theater history. And she reminds me a little bit of young Peggy here in the American Revolutionary War drama. So Peggy comes from what had once been a neutral family, but is increasingly a loyalist-leaning family. That's the Shipman family. They're merchants in Philadelphia. They faced a number of sort of patriot attacks for refusing to endorse the patriot cause, pushing them, ironically, ever closer to the loyalist cause. And when Philadelphia falls back into Patriot control in later in the war, Continental Army officers like Benedict Arnold, the greatest combat general on the Patriot side, rush into Philadelphia. Benedict Arnold, who's injured, will actually become the basically sort of military governor of Patriot Philadelphia during the war, and he's in charge of keeping the peace. And that causes him to come into contact with prominent neutral families and loyalist-leaning families like the Shippens, and he takes a shine to young 18-year-old Peggy. They get married the next morning, John. Benedict brags to his fellow soldiers that his young bride was terrific in bed, which tells you everything about Benedict's character I think you need to know in that moment. And soon thereafter, after Benedict is embroiled in one self-inflicted, humiliating scandal after another, he starts to plot defection away from the Patriot side and towards the British side. Some scholars will tell you that's his idea. Other scholars will tell you it's more complicated than that. And I'm one of those scholars in that second group. It's my understanding that Peggy Shipman is the one who starts to whisper into her lover's ear that he could really monetize his position and his connections by selling his loyalty to the British Army, which, of course, is what he ultimately tries to do. He botches his defection to the British Army, as many people know, barely making it to British lines alive and certainly failing to deliver the strategic Patriot stronghold of West Point when with the defection and leaving Peggy really to pick up the pieces of his defection. She's lucky not to be formally accused of being the mastermind of this defection plot. And she eventually makes it to British lines to rejoin her husband, who is now on the British side.
Yes, that's the quick version. The slow version is that Peggy throws a drama that is so convincing it overwhelms Washington and his aides trying to solve the betrayal of Benedict Arnold and a man named Andre. She acts, do they think of her as mad or raving because of her discovery that her husband is a traitor? How do they tell themselves in a century without psychology?
This drama takes place in the residence next to West Point on the morning of Arnold's defection. Arnold flees on a horse, having almost been caught in the act. His young wife, Peggy, with their newborn child, is stuck in the residence, and suddenly senior Continental Army officers are rushing up there to, number one, tell her of her husband's defection, and number two, to sort of suss her out, to figure out if she knew about it or had anything to do with it. And Peggy knows that is the subtext of their interview with her, and she does not want to be collared, arrested as a conspirator of what would clearly be the greatest conspiracy of the Revolutionary War. So she feigns ignorance, John. She's in her nightgown. It's like 8 a.m. And she feigns hysteria as well. Oh, my God, I can't believe he did this to me. And then starts shrieking and shrieking and shrieking, claiming that her husband is a demon now rising through the ceiling, basically playing in to all the gender stereotypes of weak-willed 18th century women. To be clear, Peggy is not remotely weak. Will. She's one of the strongest people in this book, one of the most, I think, clever people in this book I've written. And that subterfuge successfully draws suspicion away from her as a potential conspirator and lands entirely on Arnold, suggesting that he did this all by himself, which we know was not the truth of it.
It's impossible for me not to. Once upon a time, I was a novelist professor, and I still now and again weaken towards a scene that can't be documented. Arnold, they discover the betrayal because of an accident. The notes are falling into Washington's hands, and he knows they're coming for him. He has moments to tell Peggy what's going to happen. It's very early in the morning. She has a child. He's been already up and ready to run, but he comes in and he says, "They found me out. I'll send word for you where I am. I've got to leave." She goes, "What are you talking about?" He tells her very quickly, "We've been betrayed." And she asks, "Well, what do you want me to do?" And he said, "You'll figure it out," and slams the door. That's how I picture it, Professor.
So you just read yourself into that scene, John. I love that. But, you know, the sources, all we know is there's a 2-minute conversation between Peggy and Benedict in a bedroom at this residence near West Point one morning, where Benedict knows the game is up and he's going to tell his wife. And then he leaves that room and flees, leaving her behind. We don't know what happens in that room. All we know is it takes 2 minutes. And so I agree, there needs to be a movie, a novel, some sort of creative insertion into that moment, because it's incredibly dramatic. And it's an opportunity, I think, to give Peggy her due as well.
They continue. Benedict Arnold becomes a commander for the British. And eventually they leave America, I believe, at the end of 81. They have more children. They live in London. And Peggy is disdained by the British. How is she treated?
This is something my students have difficulty wrapping their heads around, right? That when the Arnold family, Peggy and Benedict and their young children, make it to London at the end of the war, the British do not roll out the red carpet for them. British citizens in London, Londoners, do not, you know, see them on the street and high-five them. Raise your hand, John, if you like traitors, right? When I ask my students this, guess what? None of them put their hands up, right? No one likes traitors. British people don't like traitors, no matter whether you're defecting from or to the British side. So British military officers disdain Arnold as someone who sold his honor. The British tabloids disdain him as a terrible turncoat who botched his defection to the British lines. So they are basically pariahs, John, in London. And after a short time, they can't take it anymore. And they leave for Canada as private citizens, hoping they might have an easier time of it in British Canada after the war.
Arnold will predecease Peggy. She dies a young woman in her 40s. And these many decades, centuries later, is she remembered, or are you doing the hard work here of raising up a heroine who's been ignored?
So like with any part of this project, you know, I'm drawing on decades of research by specialists here, but I agree that we too often think about the American Revolution as a drama only for patriot men. Peggy is neither of these things. She's definitely not a patriot, and she's definitely not a man. And yet the revolution was filled and peopled by people who were not patriot men as well. So to tell the story of the loyalists is super important, to remind everyone that the American Revolution is a civil war, and to remind people, too, that women like Peggy, women like Molly Brandt, we've talked about previously, are also central actors, subtle actors, impactful actors in this war. So yes, if we give Peggy our attention, I think we'll learn a lot.
The book is The American Revolution and the Fate of the World, Professor Richard Bell. We're going to Australia. Yes, that too. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.